لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us the opportunity to recommence our classes here. We beg him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us these sittings as acts of worship. So if we beg him to accept it as acts of worship, we must be prepared for two things. The first is, when we come to it, whether as readers or as listeners, we must be coming to it for the sake of Allah alone. Because Allah will not accept something that is not done for Him alone. We should not do it for the sake of Allah and then another worldly benefit, whether fame, whether popularity, whether just to be seen, to be heard, and all of these. There are many verses in the Quran regarding this. In one of them, he says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The only thing, those, the only people from whom Allah will accept acts of worship are who? Muttaqin. Those who fear Him when they do this. So we must keep this in mind at all times for all acts of worship. May Allah accept our acts of worship. The second thing we must have in mind when we come to gatherings like this is we must keep to the sunnah of those gatherings. Because we are saying, may Allah accept it as act of worship, may Allah accept it as act of worship. And Allah's accepting act of worship is hinged on those two things. The fact that that worship must be done to seek the face of Allah alone. Second, it must follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. If it does not, if a person looks for 1,000 stones and begins to say, Allah accept my worship, Allah accept my worship, 1,000 times, without these two things together, Allah will not accept. So when we count these things as things of gathering, of worship, we must put, have in mind these two things. We do it for the sake of Allah alone. So please, Allah, seek His face alone. Then secondly, we want to follow the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam. After reading our book, Nawakib al-Islam, by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, that is, those things that nullify a person's Islam, he mentioned 10. Although the ulama explained that those 10 are the most frequent that people commit easily, and they are the most dangerous. People commit them easily, and they are the most dangerous. So 10, he mentioned. After that, we thought it appropriate to look at something broader as far as the belief of the Muslim is. Because if worship is to be accepted by Allah, as we said, it must have two things, ikhlas and ittiba, sincerity and compliance with the sunnah of the Messenger. But that is regarding a Muslim. If a Christian does something that is ordinarily worship, for example, makes wudu and coming here to make 2 units of prayer sincerely for Allah alone, and says everything we say in the salah. When we are younger than this, I know people like that. They live near the masjid where we pray. They know everything we recite in salah, but they are not Muslim. They know Al-Fatiha, they know Ikhlas, they know Falak. They can pray as we pray, but they are Ijab, Ukrika, Tribes, Ogoni. So if such a person makes wudu as we make, because they see us making, and comes and makes Salah with us, he might fulfill those 2 conditions, but there is a condition of Iman. So those 2 conditions are for a Muslim. Otherwise, if a person is not a Muslim, but sincerely does something for the sake of Allah, it is haba and mansur. Wait. Allah will not accept. Allah will not accept. And on the day of Qiyamah, that will not prevent them from being punished by Allah, because they are not Muslim. So it means, one of the major things every Muslim must always look at is, how do I preserve my Iman? How do I preserve my Iman? What should I believe? What should I not believe? A day before yesterday, we performed Salah in a masjid. Somebody was interpreting the khutbah of the Imam. And the person was saying, Allah is everywhere. We are seated, Allah is here. If you are there, Allah is there. In Lagos, Allah is there. In Kano, Allah is there. In Abuja, Allah is there. In London, Allah is there. So how many is Allah? How many? We have one Allah subhanahu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near all his creatures. Subhanahu. And he is above all his creatures. Subhanahu. And if we understand, as we had read, that his footstool is kursi, is like, or compared to an egg in a field, when compared to his arsh, his kursi. The arsh is above the kursi. The arsh is the highest thing. The highest creature is the arsh. And it is the ceiling of al-jannah. And above it is Allah subhanahu. But when you look at the smallness of this dunya, then you can understand the nearness of Allah to all of us. If I have pebbles, grains of stone on this paper I'm holding, you will see, if I hold it close to myself, I'll be close to everything.
place, we remember the mightiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will not be a problem to say Allah is with everybody and He is above the heavens. So Allah is not in toilet and bathroom in that sense. Allah is upon His arsh. We are saying that correct perceiving of Allah, knowing who Allah is, is from the issues, basic issues of Iman. So these were the first issues that Al-Imam Al-Muzani rahimahullah raised in his book, Sharh As-Sunnah. We are not going to give a general view of what we had done. So he said, rahimahullah, he called the book Sharh As-Sunnah. It is not that he is doing a sharh, but sharh here means bayan. He is telling us what sunnah is. What is sunnah? Sharh As-Sunnah means what is sunnah. Al-Imam Al-Muzani, Abu Ibrahim, was a student of Al-Imam Al-Shafi. We discussed about him at length at the beginning of this talk. Rahimahullah. And that at their time people had issues regarding sunnah. And we said that sunnah is Islam, like Al-Imam Al-Barbahari said, rahimahullah. Says, Al-Islamu huwa sunnah, wa sunnatu hiya al-Islam. Islam is sunnah. Sunnah is the path of the Prophet Muhammad. Many people say, we are you people sunnah. The people of sunnah are the people of Islam. The people of Islam are the people of sunnah. That person saying, you people of sunnah, if you ask him who is your leader, he will say Muhammad. That fact that the Prophet Muhammad has laid down, that he follows and asks us to follow, is the meaning of sunnah. So what is Islam and what is sunnah? Islam is sunnah and sunnah is Islam. So if a person correctly grasps sunnah, what is he correctly grasping? Islam. You cannot correctly grasp Islam and you cannot correctly be a Muslim until you are a person of sunnah. And when we say a person is a person of sunnah, what we are saying is the follower of the Prophet who? Muhammad. So, but in the history of Islam, we knew that there were problems in the Ummah. People brought into Islam what is not part of Islam. People brought into Islam what is not part of Islam. A lot of it. Like the people denying that Allah has knowledge of all things. Allah has knowledge of all things. People say, no, it is what has passed and what is happening today that Allah knows. He does not know tomorrow. So if we want to prove that this is not part of sunnah, we have to bring a verse from the Quran or hadith from the sunnah to say, no, the sunnah is the opposite of what you are saying. So we say, Allah said, وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ Ilman al Qudra. Allah's knowledge, Allah encompasses all things with His knowledge. So Al-Imam al-Muzani will say, Ahata ilmuhu bil umur, all affairs. His knowledge encompasses all affairs. So the ulama of sunnah, the scholars of sunnah, when the people come from different times to say something is not part of sunnah, there are some Muslims. They are called, though some of the ulama declare them as kuffar, they are called al-Isawi. These people believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a messenger of Allah. They believe that Allah gave him Quran. Jibreel came to him alayhi salam. But he's a prophet for the Arabs alone. It's one of the firq. Some came and say no. You see, Qadar, We do not believe in Qadr.
So they say. So they do not believe in Al-Qadr. And in that, they don't believe that Allah writes the thing.
The point we are trying to make is, if we say Sunnah is Islam and Islam is Sunnah, an investigative mind would ask, so you mean all of Sunnah is in being fake? You say no. The intention with these are, or with these is, to establish the basic issues of deviance, issues where people went astray about them in the history of Islam, and the correct thing regarding those. That is what they pay attention to. People have problems about where is Allah. Like the Sufiya. The Sufiya believe that Allah is everywhere. So, say no, Allah is everywhere. Some say no, there is no Qadr. He discusses Qadr. Some say no, the Quran is rather Allah's creature and not Allah's attribute of speech. Say no, they discuss. And they provide evidences from the two revelations to support these issues. And then he went into the history of Adam alayhi, how Allah created Adam. The fact that Shaitan was not one of the malaika of some people believe. Where did Allah place Adam? He sent him on the Jannah. He brought him later on the surface of the earth, where he created him for, and all of these details. And then the issues of Iman. What is Iman? What is Iman? The Imam discussed what Iman is. What are the basic prerequisites for the Muslims as far as Iman is concerned? And these issues. So these were the last issues we discussed in our book, Sharh Sunnah, by Al Imam Al Muzani, rahimahullah, before Ramadan came in. And each of us became busy in Ramadan with other acts of worship. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our acts of worship. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our mistakes. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us end this book, to make us benefit from the book much more than it will be explained. These are the basic things we mentioned about what we have done so far before we went on break. If we have issues, questions, regarding any of the issues we had discussed, we could raise those questions. And if we have questions about other issues bothering our mind we'd like to ask about, we should ask about them. Bismillah. Now, alaykum salam. Selling goods that have branding of anime pictures. Well, there's no doubt that the Sharia prohibits pictures. It's one of the sicknesses of our generation. One of the Imams of Medina, Sheikh Al-Huzayfi, once he finished Salatul Jum'ah, he turned to the people and he began to speak angrily at the people. You know, Huzayfi is one of the oldest Imam in Haram, in Medina. I knew his Qira'ah when I was in early secondary school. Huzayfi. And he's still Imam till date. So when he stood to make khutbah, many of the people want to snap him. He was annoyed with the people. So as he finished the salah, he turned and started saying, "Ma hadhihi tamathilu allati antum laha aakifun." What are these idols that you people have become busy with? So he referred to picture making as part of what? Tamathil. So it's one of the illnesses of our generation. If a person falls down ill, needing an emergency attention, instead of the people to give the person emergency, they brought out their phones and began to sing the people. So it is an illness we should be careful about. In fact, in medical science now, it is another disease, the disease of wanting to be snapped at all times. You've heard about it? It's a disease now. You like to take a picture of yourself at every point in time. It's a disease.
It's a psychological disease.
What is it called? Selfie. You like to take a picture. You have your back, you wear the labial. Stop. All the time. It's a disease.
So may Allah protect us from that disease.
So if we have a person selling products that about all of this is pictures,
is it allowed for the Muslim? Yes, it's allowed.
Just like a person selling newspapers.
And the scholars have mentioned the possibility of buying newspapers or selling newspapers.
In that circumstance, the order will be permitted.
Inshallah.
But when he has the ability to change that and rebrand the product,
could rebrand it.
We're in a world now also where we can do so many things without using animate pictures.
We have so many things we can use now.
Unfortunately, many times when Muslims go up high in the ladder, they forget things like this. They forgot that they were thinking that they will change the situation. But when they get there, they tend to maintain the status quo.
May Allah protect us.
So when you become a Dangote in the business, you just change the picture. You put the one that is Islamic. And that will be beautiful too. We have many things the computer can do for us. Beautiful or without animate pictures. In fact, many serious companies now in the world, they don't have animate pictures on the logos of their companies. So we can still do something without animate pictures. And it will not be conflicting with our sharia. But in the meantime, those who sell those kind of products, they could go on with what they sell, intending to have the situation changed as soon as Allah makes it possible. Allahu Alaikum. Alaykum salam. Well, I hope we heard what you said, that some scholars hold that in one of the narrations, the Messenger alayhi salatu salam told them to convert the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She was having a cotton that was having pictures, I think, of horses. So the Prophet alayhi salatu salam refused to go into the house. When she came and asked, "Why are you not coming in? I can't come into this kind of a house." So she removed it and made pillows with it. So he said, some scholars say from that it means you can keep pictures for record purposes. That narration does not prove what they believe. A pillow is something you rest upon, you march upon, you sleep on. So what is closer to that is using things like rugs in the house, or mattresses, or bed sheets, instead of having to throw it away, you can use it in that kind of a form. But it is not saying that they should keep it for record. They should preserve it. Because when you keep something for record, you are protecting it, you are preserving it. Something that should not be in the house ordinarily, why then do you preserve it? And this will be indicated in another hadith, where he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب ولا صورة. The angels will not come into a house in which there are pictures and what? A dog. So if you preserve a picture for future use, so that you can show to people tomorrow, what would you have been doing? The picture is still inside the house. And he said the angels will not come into a house. But they make a ta'wil. The service hadith has to do with the pictures that are displayed. We say, what is the display here? Fihi, la tadkhulu malaikatu baytan. Fihi, the angels will not enter a house in which there is a dog or picture. That is from one angle. The other angle is that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la'natullahi ala al-mustawwirin. He said, min ashadd an-nas azaban yawm al-qiyamah al-mustawwirun. From amongst those that will be most severely punished on the day of Qiyamah by Allah are those who made the picture. So when you make the picture, it's trouble. When you are keeping it in your house, it's trouble. So that hadith of Aisha we refer to could not be interpreting what they are deducing from it, from those two angles, based on those two evidence that we advance. Allahu A'lam. Is it clear? Is it clear? Alaykum salam. Many of us don't stay. The ulama make exemption. Part of what they make exemption for are passports. Not because passports are allowed, but because the individuals are compelled to make passports. If you don't need to make a passport, you should not make a passport. You don't need to have a passport in your house. Except if your job perhaps deserves that. They may say, bring a passport now. But even at that, if they say bring a passport now, we have technology that will produce passport for you now. Now. You get the passport. So you do have to make a passport. Thank you. That doesn't mean if you have made, go and throw it away. So they give exemption for passport for notes, money notes. Because some can say, bring all the money in your house, Ustaz. You say, we should not have pictures and keep pictures in our home. What about the 1,000 naira notes? The ulama make exemption. It is those who make those notes that will carry those burdens. Not you. Those who make the notes will carry the burden. Because it is not from your own duty to make notes. But it is from your own need to spend notes. So when those who made notes, who have a choice not to include human animate pictures on notes, refuse and did that, you go ahead. They carry the body. In fact, one of the scholars, Sheikh Mukmil al-Wadi, he mentioned this specifically, that those who will carry the bodies on notes, money, are those who make the money. He said, so he's using the opportunity to tell them to change the currency and not make currencies that have notes, I mean, animate pictures on them. Another exception is, or are dolls with which children play. Dolls. Baby, dumb baby, and all that. Yes, some of the scholars say it is not allowed. That those narrations that generally prohibit making images also prohibit making dolls. But there is a hadith where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam allowed Aisha radiallahu anha her plain dolls. So based on that, they say dolls too are allowed for children. Babies, we know babies, dolls. So they are allowed for children. Those are part of the exemption they make. Or a picture somebody takes of you you didn't know. I would remember a brother one day was using, I think, an S5 or one of these Galaxy phones there. I felt in my mind he was taking a picture, but I thought, well, you should know I hate a picture. Maybe next week it's Lahama, Kasabatwa Aleha, bad stuff. So, and then when you have opportunities, you tell the people, don't make a picture of you. Don't think that it is because we are young in our age. That's why it is the heat, the euphoria that is capturing us and making us say this. One of the scholars, if I remember, Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi in Medina, he attended a lecture in the hall, you know, big lecture. And the man came with his camera to picture the Sheikh. The Sheikh said, don't picture me. If you picture me, I will send Allah's curse on you. So don't picture. If you picture me, I will tell Allah to curse you. And it's reported also of Sheikh Rabi al-Madkali that if you invite him to a lecture, he will give me a condition. Condition, you will not carry me on camera. If you agree, I will come. If you don't agree, I will not come. So the scholars have not taken it as a light thing, picture. They didn't take it lightly. May Allah protect us. Alaykum as-salam. I didn't hear what you said. Raise your voice. Raise it. Speak aloud. The what? Aywa. Connecting family ties. Al-Mukafa'a is asking about that hadith. The hadith is authentic. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions it in Al-Adab al-Mufrad that when Allah orders us to connect ties of kinship and threatens those that he refers in the Quran as وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيُّ الصَّلَةِ, they disconnect what Allah has commanded that we should connect. What is that thing Allah has ordered us to connect? Family ties. So those who disconnect it, Allah disgraced them and berated them in that verse of the Quran. So he is asking that there is a hadith that says that afsila is not bil mukafa'a. That is this connection of ties. It's not when your elder brother does well to you, then you do well to him. That is not when you are connecting ties. The time that you are connecting the ties of kinship is when your family, your brother, your sister, your mother, your uncle, Allahu Akbar, they do evil to you and you reply with good. May Allah protect us. That is when we are connecting ties of kinship. The time that we are connecting the ties of kinship is not when they do good to us and we do good to them. That is not the time. The time we are connecting kinship is when they do evil to us and you reply with good. In the father, let me hear. You respond with that which is better than what they did to you. Somebody slapped you, you bought him, he gave him a cup of tea. Your elder brother called, slapped you, bah! Take a cup of tea. It is rare now. Very rare. And it is a very important pillar of our deen. Connecting the ties of kinship. Very, very important. I'm sure if we all go back, males and females, we will know where we are failing in this aspect. Connecting ties of kinship. Especially when they wrong us. Don't we abandon them? Especially we're in a generation where you can have to talk to your brother, even if it's in China, you can talk to him every day. Cool? You can chat, talk, email, converse every day. But how well we have been doing that? Allah knows. The sunnah of deen is not all about our deeds alone, or our faith bills alone. It does not end there. What about our relations, our ties of kinship with our family? I'll round up with this narration from Asma bint Abi Bakr. May Allah protect us. رضي الله عنهما. Her own mother was a mushrika. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the elder sister of Aisha,
Aisha's mother was a Muslima, Ummu Ruman, but Asma's daughter was a Mushrika, idolator or idolatress. So one day, she came to Medina to see her daughter from Mecca. Asma radiallahu anha went to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and asked, "Afiluha, should I maintain good ties with her?" The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, "Simiha, connect with her, mushrika." Mushrika. She asked, "Should I be nice to her?" The Messenger said alayhi salatu wasalam, "Simiha." This hadith is in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. To connect with her. So Asma will deal well with her mother. And this is what Allah has told us in the Quran. He said, "Wasahibuhuma fi dunya ma'rufa." Deal with them, sahib. Relate with them fi dunya, in the matters of this world, in a nice way. So don't say, "Oh, they are Christians, we are Muslims." La, still deal well with them in the issues of dunya. May Allah rectify us all. It's one huge area, many brothers, of sunnah, faith. In the name of sunnah. And what should make them pass is sunnah, because sunnah emphasizes this aspect of life. So there are many quarrels we quarrel at home that we do not need to quarrel about. So the sunnah does not need to disconnect us from our family. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was ordering Asma to connect to her mother with a mushrika, why would you disconnect from your father who is a Muslim? Or your brother or your sister? Because they don't have beard as you do. Or because they don't veil as you veil. Or things like this. Shouldn't we understand that these things are from the issues of Allah's decision? Do you think that it is by your own decision that you are able to keep to some of the sunnah you keep to? Wallahi, it is not solely that. And if you think that it is by your will, then your iman is found wanting. There is error there in your understanding of the deen. So brothers, let's calm it down with our family. Let's mellow down with them. Let's calm down and deal with them nicely. You can send text messages today. You can make 1 minute call. Set your phone on 1 minute if you think you don't have more than 30 naira. To complete this important aspect of religion. 30 naira, 30 for me. So that after 1 minute, what we need to do, it will cut off. I just said I should ask of you. Pam, salam alaikum. So many brothers and sisters fail here. That the woman is veiling, if she has a woman, a mother that is a mushrika, not to talk of a Muslima, she could go help her at home. "Mommy, I want to wash your clothes. Where are they?" Do women do that now? "Mommy, your clothes. Let me wash them." When we were younger than this, we have people who would come to do that in our homes. They wash, they iron, they do everything, they clean the house. So I wonder whether we do that now with our families. Everybody. May Allah make it easy for us. But let us make good decisions about this matter and take appropriate steps. Is the hadith clear now? Now, the what? Blame on what? Innocent.
You are in a place your mommy had disagreement with people. Your sister.
People in your family have disagreement. And then you supported your mother. Because she was upon the truth, your support for her brought about another branch of another trouble. What should you do? Allahu Alam, in my opinion, I think what could lead to that is improper support. When we support them in a manner that sometimes even remaining silent is enough support. You'll be asking, Ustaz, you say something because they want to use that thing you will say for another trouble. So you remain silent. You see, you have not said anything. Say something. So silence sometimes speaks louder than shouting. I remember when the program one day, so after the lecture, some of the brothers criticized the person who gave the lecture for something. I was there, I was just watching. The brother said, after their criticism, say, you have not said anything. I said, myself? He said, yes, you have to say something. I said, I don't have anything. He said, no, you must say something. Because he thought, when those people have something to say, then certainly you must have something. But I didn't make anything. So sometimes you do not say anything. So when the nerves are calm, people are now ready to listen. Then you can say, okay, why did you do this? By way of rectifying them, and not by way of criticizing them. May Allah make him feel equal. Alaykum salam. Now, somebody is leading the salah. Somebody is leading the salah. And shaitan comes and says, ha. Now your voice speaks like this. So, and the person say, oh, that's true. So he changed the tone of the voice so that it should be finer. Should that person step away from the salah? You say no. He should fight the shaitan. He should fight shaitan by not deliberately singing to his tone or dancing to his tone. He should refuse. So even if he had done that, he should go back to his original voice and be real. If he stepped back, Shaitan would have defeated him. So he should not allow Shaitan to defeat him. If he continues to deceive him and disturb his mind, he should say A'udhu Billah 3 times and blow to his left during Salah. You know it's allowed. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan. In Salah, A'udhu Billahi Minash. 3 times. He will run away, then you continue your Salah. You don't answer up to Shaitan. May Allah protect us. This thing actually happened. Happened. There's a hadith on it clearly. Alaykum as-salam. Now, regarding Riyah. Okay. Just go on. Just ask the question.
He was still on the battlefield. It was not as if now he had thought that yes, now yeah, and he passed. No, he said he stood up again. The battle had not ended.
There are a lot of questions here. I'm a teacher of Western education. Why don't you say modern day education or mundane education? Because the education we have now is not necessarily Western. Every part of the world has contributed to that education. You can say mundane education or modern day education. Otherwise, it's not, there's nothing Western about it. Education in the world today is everywhere. Everybody is contributing to education. As we have it, technology and science, as you have it, the whole world is involved. So, did the actions or the methods that the Prophet used to teach his companions, are they advisable, alayhi salam, or compulsory or need to be followed? Some will be compulsory, some will not be compulsory. Those that will be compulsory are issues of being sincere with the students. Many teachers are not sincere with their students. I'm not talking about illegal teachers. Makaranta Islamiya. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about teachers in secondary schools and primary schools and even universities. They are not sincere with their students. All they want to have, finish their 30-minute lecture or class, go collect their salary and go. So the real attention they pay to students so that they can know the subject is low now. Very low. They just want the salary. And when the government does not pay, they go on the streets. We know what it is. It's common. The job mentality now is low. The interest in the job is low. Many people are teachers, especially in our country, because they didn't find any other thing to do. So let's just teach. So the interest is not there. So one thing you have to do, and that's an obligation. Since you accepted to be a teacher, you must teach well. So you must be sincere with your students and teach them the things that will benefit them. This one is obligatory. But to say, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes when he teaches his companions, he holds their hands. As he did with Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Sometimes he beats their chest, as he did with Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Sometimes he beats their lap. Sometimes he hits their head, as he did with Anas ibn Malik. And like that, all these are educational skills. Anas ibn Malik also said he repeats his words 3 times. Aisha said, radiallahu anha, he's not fasting, he's preach. He gives one after the other. She said, radiallahu anha, to the extent that a good listener can memorize what he's saying. As he's talking, a good listener will retain everything. These are noble attributes. If a teacher employs these approaches, you'll be one of the best teachers. I tell you, there are many of our brothers who teach, who explain deen, and who know these sunan. They gave the best seminars when they were in university. When you do a seminar, the entire faculty wants to listen to you because of your uslub. You are not fast, you are not slow, you are clear in speech. Your points are clearly outlined. You are not going to be vulgar in your choice of words. And you are straightforward and brief. So these are noble characters. Where you need to repeat, you repeat. Where you need to show 2 fingers, you show.
Where you need to give illustration, you give. The messenger used to do that, Ali. He says, Inna fil jasadi mudghah. He says, Karra'i yar'a hawl al-hima. Cool? Many examples in the Sunnah. Nahi alayhi salatu wa salam, when he says something, he finds that people are not understanding, he gives an example. And then he looks all, Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he brought narrations from some of the companions, that they detect a person speaking to an audience and looking at only one side of the audience. The early Muslims, they did not allow that when you address an audience, you face just one part of the audience. You look at everybody. If a teacher employs these methods, I tell you he will win the best teacher of the school for that year. Or I tell you. So these are from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Did the religion of Islam speak about teaching? I think some of what we have mentioned would have answered that question. All the Anbiya were teachers. All the Anbiya were teachers. It says, Kama arsalna fikum. Now. Okay, I'm coming. It says, Kama arsalna fikum rasulam minkum yatlu alaykum ayatihi. وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ This is the evidence. The Rasul was a teacher alayhi. He says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنَ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ Teaching is one of the best jobs in the world. I tell you. And they are the people who have some of the greatest impacts on people in the world. Teachers. Children respect teachers more than their parents. And they rely on what they say more than their parents. And that's why when you give your children to a bad teacher, you destroy the children, no matter how good the parents is. So the extent when daddy says A, they will say no. Our uncle says B. They think daddy too should obey uncle. Because uncle is the person from whom we take instruction. So daddy too should take instruction from who? Unfortunately, the best in our communities are not teachers. Our best brains are not teachers. Unfortunately, our best brains are not our teachers. We have examples in states, in Oyo State recently, they did exams to teachers. It was a rainfall. Just grading, or what do they call the exam? You forgot it? You saw how people failed to act. So our best brains should be our teachers, because they will build the children tomorrow. But it's unfortunate. And the women too. Some of the best teachers in Islamic history were women. We know that one of them was Aisha radiallahu. She had students. Many women in Islamic history had students. So teaching is a very, very good job. Unfortunately, we are in a society now where we value things according to the money they bring to us. That is what will determine whether it is a good job or not. Not the impact of that job on the society itself. What impact does that job have on the society? Is what people value is how much is it collected. So everything now has to do with the paper, money, that it brings. When it brings money, it is good. When it is not, does not bring money, then it is not good. Wow, Safa. Arabs say that it is unfortunate. May Allah protect us.
So Islam encourages teaching.
And unfortunately, you will hardly in our own community here find a standard Islamic school.
Yes,
we need state capital. We have to see a standard Islamic school. I mean every word that I have used. Standard Islamic school.
I tell you,
go around. The schools you see that are near standard are for non-Muslims.
May Allah protect us.
And we have very good brothers that can teach.
If we want Islam to grow in our community, those are the kind of institutions we should pay attention to. The kind of education that our children receive. Very, very important. It is more important than building a house. As important as Yoruba fake house building. Even when he does not find money to pay school fees for his child, he build a house. Child education is very important. Very, very important. May Allah make it easy for us. These talks are just to motivate us and generate ideas in our minds. In many ayats of the Quran, Allah would ask us questions. Why did He do so? For many reasons. Those kind of questions in Arabic are referred to as istifham. Question. Istifham, questioning, can be inquiry. That is a way of questioning you and at the same time berating you. If somebody asks a question, are you stupid? What is the answer? May Allah protect us. If somebody asks a question, are you stupid? Afala ta'qilun. What is the answer? It means that think well. What I have said concurs with intellect, except if your own intellect is what? Logic. Some of those questions he had asked us, by way of making us understand that what he's talking about we should not do, or by making us understand that we need to think in the circumstance, or different reasons. Sometimes to make us pay attention. Sometimes when we discuss with our friends, what do we say? We say, you know one thing? What is the answer? He doesn't know what you want to say. You say, you know what? You say, what? You call his attention by so. So those questions he's not asking us for answers. Only in some of them he wants us to pay attention. In some cases it is telling us that what he's asking a question about is something we should not do. Like in Hujrat, it says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la yafqar qawmun min qawmin, asa an yakunu khayran minhum. ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا نساء ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان نصا says أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا would any of you want to eat the carcass of his brother? What is the answer? He answered, "Say for carrying to move. You always hate that kind of a thing. So why did he ask us the question? For us to know that backbiting and slandering is what? Bad. There are many examples like this in the Quran. So Allah is not asking us those questions
so that we can start researching for
there's a question here about Ramadan, but I would not like to go back to that question.
Then the fourth question here will be answered in the next class, inshallah. The class is about the question.
I should drop this. I want to ask about Ebola. I'm not a medical doctor.
There's a doctor here.
There is another doctor. I want to ask about Ebola. If a Muslim dies or faints, how do we treat him or her in terms of bathing and burying him or her? How do we handle Ebola? Well, those who have studied Ebola say that Ebola can be transferred through body fluids. And we know that when people die, their bodies ooze body fluids. Sometimes we find blood. It means it is dangerous for those who handle such bodies to touch such bodies. At the same time, we see that the way they dress from head to toe, including their faces, they veil them. They wear veils to protect themselves from the virus and its danger. So in that circumstance, that is what the Muslims too will do. The Ummah, in every month, we can have three of such dresses. May Allah never make this illness to go round. May Allah not make the illness to go round. May Allah not make it become an epidemic. At the moment, it is not an epidemic. Unfortunately, many of the people have started talking about it as if it's an epidemic, and it is wrong. A greater problem about this that I have seen about the issue of the outbreak of the disease is the poor handling by authority. Even at the entrance point, poor handling. As at last Tuesday, if you arrived at the MMA, the only thing that is Murtala Muhammad, the only thing they will do to you is, they say bring your hand, and they bring one red device, I think it measures temperature, and they place it on your wrist for like 10, 15 seconds. Once they read your body temperature and find that it is within normal, they say go. Is this the test for Ebola? Secondly, those carrying out the test themselves, they appear like young boys who just finished from secondary school waiting for jam results. You know how they look? They are not professional health workers. You don't understand. Thirdly, when you come down from your flight, the journey you make before you get to the point where you'll be screened for Ebola is sufficient to transmit Ebola. I'm not talking about what I read. We've not handled the case well in our country. In terms of information, there was, I think, one of the doctors in one of the, as they call them, facilities in Lagos, who was complaining that the federal government released 1.2 billion to control the disease. They did not see anything. In the place where they left these people, the AC is not working. The beds are bad. Beds. And then the Lagos state government was said to have been given 200 million. So the federal government said they released 1.2 billion and the state government got 200 million. That is 1.4 billion. Where has it been spent, apart from the fact that we read it on the paper? I think that is the real epidemic we have.
the way we handle the situation in our country. I'll mention this also because it is connected to it. On the same day I'm talking about, 7 a.m. in the morning, I was somewhere, we were coming to this country. A woman, I think she was coming from China. She had cold. I saw her on the wheelchair when we were boarding. So in the plane, in that country, if you are in your house and you say, I have malaria, or ambulance will come and carry you from your house to the hospital. And from inside the ambulance, they will treat you free, no matter the illness. They even have helicopters. I tell you, that will land in front of your house to pick sick people. I'm not saying what I read now. So many Nigerians don't go to hospitals. They will just sit there in their house, they will just say, hey, come, come. They will sit there worry. What is the matter? Nigerians, they will be smiling. So that Nigerian, I think the crew noticed that she had problems with cold. So they called in a doctor and a nurse. I heard the crew leader saying that he's apologizing to us for another 15 minutes delay because they want to take care of somebody in the plane and give her first aid. When this doctor and the nurse, there were some others on the ground, on the tarmac. When the nurse and the doctor approached the woman, she said, Chineke, you want to disgrace me? The woman who was shivering in cold, she stood up and said, Jesus, you want to disgrace me? God will punish you. She became something else. Because they want to help her. But why is she thinking like that? Because we don't have that mentality in our own country. They want to help you. So some of the people started speaking Igbo, telling her, please sit down, it is for your sake. She said, no, she does not want. She said, you want to embarrass your customer. Eh? Did I call you? Did I do this? Jesus. You know what? So I think we overemphasize the problem of leadership in our country. A greater problem itself is the problem of followership. And when people don't make good followers, they cannot be good leaders. Good leaders are good followers. Those who lead well are those who have followed well. We have the problem of followership and general orientation. Our thoughts need to be reorganized in this country. The man was, let me not say this word, we use it and play with it in the primary school and secondary, flabbergasted. He didn't know what to say, overwhelmed. They were embarrassed. Because in our own country, we handle things as we like. So when you go to a country where they don't handle things as they like, you think that they are mad. So who is mad? We have problems of orientation. The greater problem in this country is the problem of orientation. The wrong people want to unfortunately give orientation. The media has not been well utilized at all. We have a problem of orientation. You listen to newscasters today, they speak very bad English. How did they become newscasters? When I was younger than this, our parents would say, listen to CNA Razak Lawal so that you can pick good English. These days, parents could say, don't listen to them so that they don't teach you bad English. We know CNA Razak Lawal. Allah makes things easy for us. That's why I say the greater problem we have is not the Ebola itself, but how we are handling the Ebola. That is the problem. In Nigeria, and when you go out, people see that Nigerians, they say your country is rich. They respect you for that. But they say, oh, sorry, sorry. Bad leader, bad people. May Allah forgive us and make things easy for us and rectify our leaders. May Allah rectify our leaders. May Allah rectify our leaders. May Allah set their feet right in the right direction. The unfortunate thing, many of the people don't understand that when Allah rectifies the leaders, the people enjoy. He's not a leader except for the fact that he's in front of people. When he does well, what does that mean? It means the people are well. So whether Muslims or non-Muslims, may Allah rectify them and give them good advisors. Make their policies good policies for us. Make things easy for us. Don't bring us burdens from them. And don't bring them burdens from us. Ya Rahman Ar-Rahim. We are not doing things rightly. May Allah make things easy for us. Alaykum as-salam. He's asking about one attack in Iraq. Me, I'm not commentator. You can read that about newscasters will tell us and comment about that. About Islam. If Muslims are killed somewhere, what does that mean? Muslims. And the Muslims who are killing some people. That is the meaning of fitna. The meaning of fitna, this one we kill this, that one we kill that. This will not know what they are killing him for. The other one too, this one kill this, this one kill that. It's fitna. May Allah protect us from fitna. Can you pray Rak'at al-Fajr at home? The best place to make Rak'at al-Fajr is at home. Now, that's all. Alhamdulillah. Alaykum salam. Music is a problem. How? On, you know music is haram. We all know that. Maybe the question is, how do we handle such situations? We all know music is haram. Music means you sing and drum. When you drum alongside singing, that is music. When you sing, that is singing. It really depends on what you are saying, and where you are saying it, and when you are saying singing. But music, when drumming accompanies it, because those instruments of drumming, they are accosted by the Prophet Muhammad. The instruments of music, the alatul ma'azif, alatul tarab, the messenger has cursed it. And he has cursed those women who sing too. In music. He has also cursed women who dance them and the men who sing them. And he told us that at a point in time they may be all swallowed by the earth. To make us understand how despicable these things are. So like he said, we're in a community now about everything ringing tone, you know, about everywhere you are. That's why I don't listen to radio, especially OSBC, because in every 5 minutes you must hear, in every minute, perhaps, they must play music. So say, okay, take your news. we look for other medium of listening to news. If we don't listen to OSBC, I think we can still survive. We can listen to news well if we leave NTA, BBC and all of that. We can read the news. So we take to reading it. Because people say, but we have to listen to news. Read it. Read the news. Everybody now has devices that can make you read news. So don't say the music you are hearing in network news is Darurio. Because there is a legal alternative. So the more you hear those music, the more you are sinning. Yes, and the more you are planting hypocrisy into your heart. Music plants nifaq into the heart. So it is avoidable. Don't say we can't avoid it. It is avoidable. In our generation today, it is avoidable. Because you have different options. In fact, even your MTN can give you news if you want. Glow will give you news if you want. So and you have data to check news. So it's not compulsory for you to listen to those devices because of those evils. Allahu alam, the best of what we can do, pray for people, encourage them, enlighten them, educate them. No more, no less. Allahu alam. Alayhi salatu wa salam. What about TikTok? Can someone? Yes, can you pray in rooms or in houses where the palace have pictures but the inner rooms don't have pictures? Yes, you can. You can pray. Those pictures have nothing to do with your salah. The pictures have nothing to do with your salah, whether it will be accepted or not. They have nothing to do with it, except from the aspect of affecting your own concentration. But if you are facing the direction where those pictures do not affect your concentration in that salah, it does not affect the validity of your salah. Allahu Akbar. Please, are we to losing our hair when we want to take ghusl after haid? The ulama say if you lose the hair, it is better. People like Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he says, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, is of the view that it is better for us for the women to lose those hairs. He mentioned that in Tahzib al-Sunnah. To lose the hair for menstruation. Some say it is obligatory. But Allahu alam, it appears that it is only better. The time that it is obligatory is the ghusl of entering Makkah or the ghusl of commencing ihram of Hajj. For a woman that is performing Hajj tamattu, when she wants to go into ihram and she has an hairdo, she should untie the hair so that when she has her bath, the water touches everywhere. The instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Aisha was in that circumstance. She was having haid and she wanted to take off ihram and her hair was tied. So he insisted that she should lose it. So if she loses it and she has the ghusl, is that the ghusl you are making? There is different, because her own ghusl is for ihram and she's not going to perform any salah today because she's still in menstruation. Your own ghusl is a ghusl that completely takes you out of menstruation and you perform salah. So those are two different types of ghusl connected to menstruation for the woman. I hope this matter is clear. It's a bit technical, but just have it, inshallah, that it is better if she makes ghusl, if she undoes her hair
before making ghusl when she's in haid. Allahu a'lam. What is the ruling on someone expecting appreciation from another person, although the intention is for Allah? You did something for the sake of Allah, but you expect that he should appreciate how? Give you money, say Jazakallah khair. Well, don't expect it. إِنَّمَا نُطِيمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُهِدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. So this is what we should place our mind. We do to you not because we expect you to do another thing for us. And it is predicted in Islam that you do something for somebody, you expect him to do something to you. It's wrong. Allah says, وَلَا تَمْنُونَ تَسْتَفْسِرُ. Don't hope to do something to get more. Ah, that brother, if I give him 10 naira, when he will give me 1,000. لَا تَمْنُونَ تَسْتَفْسِرُ. Don't do something like that. This is regarding the person that is doing. But regarding the person to whom good was done, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, مَنْ صَنَعَ لَكُمْ خَيْرًا فَكَافِئُهُ. Whoever does good to you, do good to him too. Whoever does you good, do equal good. Do something equivalent to his own. He said, and if you don't find, pray for him until you will know that you have done good to him too. But I think the question is regarding the person that is doing something to somebody. Don't expect that he will do. But regarding someone to whom good was done, he should expect to do what will also please the person who has extended good to him. From that is also to say, Jazakallahu khayra. People say, Jazakallahu khayr. It's wrong. Jazakallahu khayra. Khayra, khayra. Don't forget that put it. Jazakallahu khayra. Jazakallahu khayra. Khayra, khayra. Don't say khayr, khayr. It's wrong linguistically. Don't say Jazakallahu khayra. Now, and the person will reply, alaykum salam. The person will say, wa antum fajazakumullahu khayra. The hadith is authentic in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It's authentic. In the times of the messenger, people will say Jazakallahu khayra, and they'll get the response and say, wa antum fajazakumullahu khayra. The hadith is authentic. Somebody came to me a day before I made a journey and said, ah, Ustaz, somebody put it in Loga that it should be why you ask me. I said, that's coming back. Leave that one. The messenger thought of something else. We had been saying wa'iyyakum, wa'iyyakum, ko. So when we heard something else from him, alayhi salatu wasalam, we dropped that one. See, by way, he cannot change this one. And it's not a sahih. Bafal al-i'tirad. Now, is it a thing to use rat poison to kill rats in the house? Subhanallah, sisters, ask about halal and haram. Or brothers, anyone who are drinking this. If you don't kill the rats, what will they do to you? They will help you wash plates. They cause harm to you. So whatever causes harm to you, you can put the harm away from yourself. And these things are usually referred to as hasharat. Hasharat. Like lice, like cockroaches, like ants. And Imam al-Shinkiti rahimahullah in Adwa al-Bayan mentioned that the ulama say we can kill them without care. As much as we need to kill them, kill them. Love one. Alaykum salam. Speak up, speak up. If you tell me silently, I will still say it to the people.
Naam.
Well, I thank Allah that many of the people did not hear you. So I prefer to give you an answer privately. But for those who have heard something similar to that, that is, when a woman is indecent to the husband, what should the husband do? A woman that is indecent. The issue is, many men are lax with their husbands, with their wives, till those wives grow wings. Allah did not leave women that, leave them, let them do what they like. No, you will be controlling them. That is the meaning of qawwamun, those who will be guiding and protecting. Because if you leave her unguided and unprotected, you will see the result on her. So many men don't care who their wives are talking to. And these days we are in a generation of phone and Facebook now. People's wives are talking to people's husbands. People's husbands are talking to people's wives. It is sickness. And some sisters that have little shame, you hear them talking about it, that a brother is sending inbox to her. Why you come to the public to say this? Go out of the Facebook. Is it obligatory for you to stay on Facebook? You are somewhere, an insult is coming to you. What do? You remain there and be shouting. You go to networking and say, oh, one man insulted me yesterday. Go out. Go out of it. It's a sickness for many men now. There are cases, there are homes that this thing has destroyed. A woman will be chatting and messenger booking someone else's husband. It is part of shamelessness. And they'll start saying, I love you for the sake of Allah. Don't misuse the statements of the Prophet Muhammad. Qawlul haq yuradu bihi al-batil, a true statement with which evil is intended. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, if you love somebody, tell him. Ulama say it is obligatory. Well, how do you tell somebody else's wife that you love her? It's a sickness. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen was asked, can a man tell that to a woman? He said, yes, but not people like me. The person you can tell are the likes of Ibn Baz. Not me. So are you a young man today, you are telling another young girl that I love you for the sake of Allah, because the Prophet said something. Be careful, don't make Prophet statements evidence for indecency. So people should curtail their wives. Put your wife under your care. Know who she's talking to, know who are her friends. Is it not authentically reported in Sahih Muslim that the Messenger says, alayhi salatu wasalam, our wives should not be friends to those we don't like, and they should not bring into our homes those we don't like. So you've been given the authority. Those that will come to your house should be those you sanction. Those that your friends, your wife will make friends are those you sanction. So if your wife starts having friends you don't know, male or female, and they destroy her for you, whose blame is that? Whose blame is that? إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ أُخْفِيهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِّيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا. So be careful, hold your wives, don't leave them. We're in a very loose generation now. Before now, when someone wants to talk to your wife, he has to jump the fence of your house. Today, the fences have been broken with those phones you are having on your hand. Android, iPhone, all those phones. They talk to people you don't know. Long term, people should know who are their families relating with. Because at the end of the day, it will affect them and it will affect their children. May Allah protect us. I will be making a lot of dua in this respect. A lot of dua. A lot of dua. Many people are sick now. Alaykum salam. People are sick now. Sick, really sick. May Allah protect us. From amongst the circumstances that can make a man to divorce the wife is when she is keeping this kind of friends. A male, another man is talking to her. And he does not know. Let's not keep loose with our families. They make and break people. May Allah help us protect our families. Said you were fasting in Nigeria before you traveled for Umrah. When you went there and the fast ended in Nigeria at 29 or 30, what did you do or something? When you travel in an area, for example, as it happened this year, when you get to wherever you get to, you drop your count from wherever you are coming from and you take the count of the country you are in. It's not only in Ramadan, even in Dhul-Hijjah. There are many times in Dhul-Hijjah you will travel to Hajj, and the 10th day, the 9th day is your own 10th day, and vice versa. You are going to take to the counting of the country you are in now. That is what the Asar of Aisha and Masruq has indicated. She told him to take to the count of the place where he is. Allahu A'lam. If you travel from here to Saudi Arabia, so as you fly out of Nigeria, just know that you drop Nigerian counting with a Nigerian. When you get there, you start following their count. That is what the ulama said. So the person asked me whether I fasted for 31 days. I did not fast for 31 days. I did not fast for 31 days. But if it will mean like that, then I would have still fasted. If it would mean translate into that 2 days. So we would have fasted for 30 days, not 31. Allahu Akbar. Medicine for a dull student or unsuccessful businessman. Be making a lot of salat on the Prophet Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And the saying لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. Nothing to put under the pillow, nothing to put a rebiro, no, just the saying this thing and be serious with your studies and your business. Many of the people have failed business not because they are not good businessmen, good businessmen, but because they have not taken proper care in their business. It fails business. People don't take proper care and precaution regarding their business. Many students will be traveling from one place to another. When the exams come, they start becoming afraid. Hey, that is when they now need Ogun Soye. see you. You do not just be useful to yourself at the time you should be useful to yourself.
So the pressures of exam, the fear of being able to assimilate. So when the person has books in front of him or her, he will not assimilate, he will not assimilate because he's living under pressure. Although I know people that is when their brains open up. Yes, they don't read before for 24 hours. They will crash it into the exam hall and they will still have aid. I tell you, that is when the brains will... I remember I did a course like that. When you read it, you forget. So myself and one of the brothers, we wrote the exams together. From after, the exam was 9 o'clock the next morning. We crashed it into the exam. We read, crashed into 9 o'clock, wrote the exam, then we went back, salam billah. That is how education is in our country, unfortunately. Unfortunately, that is how education is in our country. Because most of what the students are forced to learn and will be asked about in exams are things that they don't need. That's why in other countries of the world, education is faster and more effective. In our own country, it is slower and non-effective. You see somebody, a graduate of computer science, is telling you that he wants to go and do computer application. At the time you are supposed to be writing programs, that is when he wants to go and do application to know what the CPU and the mouse. And he has computer. Don't be surprised, it's real. This is real. Yes, the day before yesterday, I had an experience. Real. Somebody read computer is just starting to go and do computer application first. So what computer was he doing in the university? The YDX. In the countries where they invented the YDX, they don't learn all of this the YDX again. They've gone past that stage. They felt that their parents, their forerunners, their vanguards have suffered all of that. What they need now is something over that. So they are thinking about learning now with laser energy, greater things of development. That is why we are still memorizing log tables. So, may Allah protect us. May Allah make things easy for us. The brother was telling me he wrote an exam, I think in England. It was an open exam. This is the book, textbook. This is formula. This is calculator. This is question paper. And the teacher walked out of the class. Because he will not find the answer for it in textbooks. The answer will be a function of what he has understood from the textbook, not what is inside the textbook. That is education. And that is the result we are seeing with them. May Allah make things easy for us. Unfortunately, the Islamic sciences are becoming like this too. So you find somebody, a graduate of Islamic studies, he does not, if you ask him, what is the ruling on making Bismillah or Bismillah Rahman Rahim before you commence wudu? He does not know. Ruling. The meaning of ruling is it wajib, is it obligatory or recommended or allowed or discouraged or prohibited? He does not know. And if he knows, ask him what is the evidence, he does not know. Why? Because it's become this kind of let me just memorize and go kind of thing. And what are they memorizing? So you find people, Islamic sciences, you have PhD masters, PhD sometimes, and you'll be wondering what Islam have they learned. May Allah protect us. May Allah make things easy for us. The last question, inshallah. Alaykum salam. A man has a wife. Each time he needs her attention privately, he has to beg her. I heard something like that this morning.
that a woman will be telling the husband,
like 2 weeks so
after now, 2 weeks. So the brother says the woman does that. The man does not have the ability to marry a second wife, and this is the condition of this man. What should he do? He should report the case to the parents of the woman. He should report the case to the parents of the woman. That is why it's always good to be patient to marry a woman from her parents. If you marry her with trouble and tabdil in wali, as many of the people are want, when she has a problem, where do you report her to? If you divorce her, where do you divorce her to? If you start something, you must always remember the end. And every marriage we go into has only two ends, no third to it. If you say, I marry a woman today, it can end only in two things, no third. It's either one of them dies, death does them apart, or they separate. What is the third option? If a man marries a woman, there are only two options. They either, one of them either dies or they separate. Is that not the case? So when you marry a woman, start thinking about this one from the beginning. Because it must surely happen. It must happen. It's either the man dies and leave the woman, or she dies and leave him, or they separate. May Allah help us sustain our family. So try to marry a woman from her parents in a nice manner. This is advice one. The advice two is, talk to the woman. Show her the ahadith. In a narration, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wa in kanat ala tannur, even if that woman is upon fire, cooking. The husband says, kick, kick, kick. She says, okay, I'm coming. She should drop the amala. She's turning and pay attention to her husband. So a woman who does this is a very sinful woman. Very sinful. Because she can lead the husband to a lot of things. May Allah protect her. So he should talk to her, should enlighten her, he should pray for her. A question can come to mind. Can he force her? Yes. A man can compel his family to private relations. There's no sin in it. You can look for good rope, tie both hands, tie the legs, and then leave her when you are through. There is nothing in the Sharia that blames a man on that. It's better for him than zina. The issue is, it appears strange because we think that it is a normal thing. A woman depriving the husband of private relations can do a lot to that husband. It's one of the worst things a woman can do to her husband. No good woman does that. So if he reports her to her family and she refuses, he should divorce her without apology. Look for another woman, good woman to marry. Look for a good wife to marry. If you talk to her, because it is your right, she's denying you. If you talk to her and she refuses, divorce her in a nice manner. Look for another woman to marry. Many of the women will say, oh, they don't want to have children. It is not sexual intercourse alone, that brings about children. It is Allah that determines the coming of children. Just like it is Allah that determines death and life. It is not Ebola that kills. It is Allah who that kills.
So you begin to have stories of families who had Ebola, and out of a family of six, four survived Ebola. You've heard it? Three survived Ebola. Some survived Ebola. Two discharged after Ebola. Because it is not Ebola that kills. The one that kills is Al-Jabbar. It has means me different ways of bringing death. One of which is Ebola or any other thing. So he has children that he has destined must come to the surface of the world at particular times from a particular woman. If she says 2 weeks, and the husband says, okay, I have agreed, because she does not want to have children. And that 2 weeks, when he comes, she becomes pregnant. What will she do? And dear brothers, it is not only semen that carries sex cells. Even the pre-seminal fluid carries sex cells. And dear brothers, even in the 100 million sex cells in every ejaculation, it does not mean all of them will be strong enough to cause fertilization. And if they are strong enough, it is only one out of 100 million that will fertilize. Doesn't that indicate that it is Al-Jabbar al-Wahhab al-Qahhar al-Qadir that determines what happens? And that was why the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told the companion who reported to him that I'm afraid that my wife would have a child. He said, look here, Allah will create what he will create. Even if you drop that semen on top of a rock, Allah will create what he will create. Have we not seen children that their parents during the pregnancies have attempted to abort them? I have seen. Make serious effort, the child will not come and you will not be harmed. And when the child will come to the surface of the earth, you see the child strong and healthy. It means that the one who determines who comes to the surface of this earth is Allah. Amongst the Tabi'un, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin had a wife that had 30 children. Muhammad ibn Sirin. Al-Imam ibn Sa'd in his At-Tabaqat mentioned it. Muhammad ibn Sirin had 30 children from one of his wives. And the 29 of the 30 died. Allah took the 29 from the 30. The only child he had left was Abdullah ibn Muhammad ibn Sirin. So if they were afraid of giving back the children because of poverty, and so they killed 29, they would have been murderers 29 times. But Allah, after the children came to the surface of the earth, decided to take them back because he's the owner. Until we rectify our iman, some of these matters will not be settled with us. I tell you, my dear brothers, I believe strongly that there is no, for a man with iman, there is no birth control system that can stop him. I tell you this. No birth control can stop him. So what the men and the women need to work on is our iman. What controls childbirth, what controls pregnancy is Allah. Have we not had brothers? I have a friend. For 16 years he did not have a child. 16 years. No child. Now he has 4 children. I have a woman. For 7 years, she did not have a child. She had 7 children. In fact, it became a quarrel between her and her husband whether to stop childbirth or not. After 7 years of not having a child. So who controls children coming up? Al-Imam Abu Tahir in Silafi, he mentioned in his Akhbar al-Safar, one of the most troubled persons in the world. Abu Tahir al-Silafi. He said, our teacher said to us, he made this statement in the fourth century of Islam, that one of their teachers, he mentioned him, I think Al-Imam Al-Lamtuni, Abu Muhammad, said to him that he saw a woman in Andalusia, present day Spain, who had children 7 times. The first time she had a baby, she had a child. The second time she had a baby, she had 2 children. The third time she gave birth to the baby, 3. The fourth time, 4. The fifth time, 5. The sixth time, 6. The seventh time, 7. Who controls giving birth to children? Rabbul Izzah. She had 28 children. She said she was scared that she may die if she has another series of pregnancies. So she held back. And he said her story was well known in Andalusia. Give birth to children. I don't know what any human being has that is like children. Even those who make obituaries, when they make obituaries, what do they say? He survived by the following: 1 BMW car, 1 Mercedes Benz, 2 houses, 1 bungalow. Abi? What do they say? He survived by the following: professor, doctor, PhD, engineer. Those are the things of value. Maybe if Abiola MKO, may Allah forgive him, maybe if he did not have a child, he would have forgotten anything called MKO in this country. Recently, I passed by Concord Press, their printing press, Gongo, near MMA. Wallahi, I almost shed tears. That is this Abiola's company? MKO Abiola? Even his house, his first child, what's his name, Kola, cannot stay in that house. So them now, those houses are gutter. Are they not gutter? If Ikeja are not gutter now in Lagos, Ikeja, which was the prime area then, what is it now? They live in Banana Island now. Lekki, GI, Aja, count them. Where you buy land for 100 million. Yes. Not a story. I know a case. So, but he has a child, Kola. So when they say Abiola, you say Kola Abiola. Children last longer than wealth. So, and they are a thing of greater investment than what we are investing in. So let us invest our time and our attention and wealth and our children, and not be afraid of having children. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَنَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ. The two are in the Quran. Once he said نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّهُمْ. The other one he turned it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let not a father think that, where will I get money to feed them? Before Allah brought us to this world, the breasts of our mothers were ready for us. As we were growing in the womb, Allah was preparing the food that we will eat. And the day we come out, will it be ready or not? There is water in it. There is amala in it. There is rice, yam, everything inside it. Carbohydrate, protein, salt. All preserved, sugar, everything. So now that we are walking with our hand and leg, will he not provide what we will eat? May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah bless our children. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. آمين وأنتم جزاكم الله خيرا.